Let me go to Derry and speak to our correspondent there, Mark McFadden. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Hello, everyone.
Mark, there is an air of sadness hanging over Derry this morning. The funeral of Ryan McBride would have been a massive story in itself, never mind the funeral of the former Deputy First Leader of Northern Ireland, First Minister of Northern Ireland.
Absolutely, Frank. I mean, this city began the week absolutely stunned by the sudden death of Ryan McBride at just 27. He was a very popular sports figure, the captain of Derry City Football Club, a quiet, modest individual, but an absolute lion on the field. He was such a well-liked figure. And then within 24 hours, we had the death of Martin McGuinness, and suddenly Derry had lost two high-profile figures, and especially Martin McGuinness, a figure who was not just a national figure, but an international figure.
The funerals today will go to the same church.
They will indeed. That's St. Columbus Church in Long Tower. It's commonly known just in Derry as Long Tower Chapel, a church on the edge of the Bogside. And there are actually going to be three funerals at that church today, not just the funerals of Martin McGuinness and Ryan McBride, but another funeral as well. So it's an extraordinary moment for that parish. And the world's media are gathering here today, Frank, I can tell you. There's an extraordinary media presence because of high-profile figures we expect at the funeral of Martin McGuinness. Among them, as we know, Bill Clinton, which is an extraordinary moment to think that a former US president is coming all the way to attend the funeral of Martin McGuinness in the Bogside.
The Irish president is going to be there, the Taoiseach is going to be there, the Secretary of State is going to be there, but there had been some doubt about whether or not our First Minister was going to be there. And in the end, she decided to go. Would it be fair to say it would have been a bigger story if she decided not to go?
I think it's, to be fair to Ardy Foster, it was always going to be a delicate and difficult decision. She would have been damned if she did and damned if she didn't, depending on which quarter one views the question from. I think that she is making the right decision on a personal assessment. I think it's the right decision to come along to pay tribute to someone who was her working partner in government, someone she got to know on a personal level just aside from the politics, and someone she saw as a man who made a contribution in terms of reconciliation, sharing power, bridge building. But we also have to reflect upon the fact that Arlene Foster, her DUP constituency, many of the people there will be hurting. They would have lost loved ones to the IRA. Arlene Foster herself, her father, the IRA tried to murder her father. So one can appreciate that for her, there are many conflicting emotions at work. But I think it's the right decision to come along to pay tribute to a former partner in government, very much so. And when one looks at the remarkable roll call of political leaders who are coming, the likes of the Taoiseach, the Irish president, James Brokenshire representing Downing Street, former president of the United States, Bill Clinton, and the fact that Her Majesty the Queen is to send a personal message of condolence to Martin McGuinness's widow, Bernie. I think it would have been extraordinary if Arlene Foster had decided not to stay away, and I think perhaps she's certainly made the right decision. I think there's no doubt about that. She's made the right decision, and I think that her and Peter Robinson, who I understand will accompany her to the funeral, I'm sure their presence will be greatly welcomed.
It is an incredible commentary on the progress that this country has made. Had Martin McGuinness died while he was an IRA commander, it would have been all so different.
Absolutely, Frank. In a way, it speaks volumes about what an extraordinary individual he was and about the personal political journey he made. This was a man born in the Bogside. It was the cradle of the Troubles, the birthplace of the Troubles. It was a furnace of violence in the late 60s, and that furnace forged that Republican man of steel that Martin McGuinness became. But that man of steel who would lead the IRA through some of its darkest days, days when many people died at the hands of IRA bombs and bullets, he would then draw that organization along the road to peace. And while many questioned his motives and questioned his sincerity, there are very many also who are absolutely sure that he was utterly committed in his later years to bridge building, to peace, to power sharing, and to building a better future for this society. So it pays tribute in a way to the fact that this was a man who walked a road perhaps like no other in modern Irish politics in terms of where he began and where he ended.
How do you expect his Republican credentials to be marked today?
Well, Frank, there was always going to be this unspoken question to a degree of, yes, he was a Republican and this is a Republican funeral. And there were questions about would there be paramilitary trappings. And I don't think there's going to be any question of that happening, really. I fully expect that the coffin will be draped in an Irish flag. But that is something that happens to nationalist politicians throughout the island of Ireland. And it really shouldn't raise an eyebrow in that respect. But I don't expect that there will be any kind of paramilitary event around the funeral. I really don't. I think that the presence of so many political figures from around Britain, Ireland, and abroad would lead one to assume that assurances have been given privately that there will be no paramilitary show of any kind.
And the timescale for the funerals today, as you say, a busy day because there's another private funeral between the two high-profile funerals at Long Tower today. What's the timescale for those, Mark?
Well, Ryan McBride's funeral, the Derry City captain, his funeral takes place mid-morning at Long Tower. In between, another private funeral will be held. Martin McGuinness's funeral will be in the afternoon. His remains will leave his house in the Bogside about 20 past one. It will then move through the Bogside in what we expect will be flanked by a huge cortege. It will pass many of the landmark spots of the Troubles. It will go down into the heart of the Bogside, to Roswell Street, the scene of the Bloody Sunday shootings. It will pass Free Derry Wall, with bearing the legend, "You're now entering Free Derry," which has become not just a monument to where we've been, but it has become a modern tourist landmark as well. It will pass that before making its way up to the church at Long Tower for a Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock. Following the Mass, the cortege will then go to the city cemetery for the burial, and it's there we expect that Sinn Féin President Gerry Adams will make a graveside oration in tribute to Martin McGuinness.
There is a tradition of the procession going to a church, stopping at significant points. In a private capacity, it might stop where someone had worked, it might stop where they'd played sport. Do you expect it to stop at Free Derry Corner or anywhere else along that route?
I think it will certainly, there will be a nod, so to speak, in terms of the cortege's speed and movement to those spots. It's certainly no coincidence that it's passing those locations. But it's also the fact that Martin McGuinness always saw himself as a Republican, as an Irishman, as a Derryman. But as he told me often, first and foremost, he saw himself as a Bogsider. And he always said, a proud Bogsider. So it's really his family's last chance to allow the people of the Bogside to pay their tribute to one of their own. The fact that the cortege will be making that journey, winding its way through the Bogside, past those significant points.
Mark, thank you very much indeed. Mark McFadden, who'll be reporting on the laying to rest of the former Deputy First Minister.